All right, good morning, folks. Happy
Friday.
Welcome back. It's time to talk about what is going on in the world, and it's crazy like always, but guess what? It's arguably even more insane than ever because, for the most part, the dumbed-down people are still drinking the Kool-Aid, although they're drinking it in the shade because they don't have much power in much of the northeastern part of the country. And for the rest of us, we're watching and thinking, are you kidding me? How long is it going to take before people finally figure out how badly they've been duped? And that's at least at the heart of some of the stories. Anyway. Let me say good morning to David Justice and see how he's doing. How are you doing, David?
Well, hi, Mark. I decided to take a few days off and go camping and spend some time away from media, but, you know, love doing the show here. So it's always an amazing thing to distinguish the propaganda, the narrative that of the world that keeps us all enslaved through our buy-in. Anyway, that's what we're looking at. Mark, go ahead.
Okay, well, so there is a lot to talk about, and I guess we'll start with one of the big elements of the propaganda. This is a big deal, of course, if you have been duped into believing that the global warming is caused by your carbon footprint, and as a result, you deserve to suffer when the power grid goes down because you were silly enough to say, I think I'll take out my natural gas stove and my natural gas water heater, and I will rely on the electric grid. And, they don't want me to have air conditioning? Well, it relies on electricity, too. So what we've got is this big heat wave, which arguably is caused by rerouting storms and moving things around so that we can convince the dumbed down and duped that global warming as a result of man-made causes is real. Ultimately, there is, in fact, a lot of man-made causes to what's going on here, but it's got more to do with geoengineering than it does with bogus carbon footprints. So on the one hand, that's the big story. On the other hand, largest power grid declares power emergency for second day running is one of the headlines from Zero Hedge. So as more and more electric cars are being put on a power grid that already is overworked and can't handle the load, we've got heat and people running air conditioners, and so the power grid goes down for the second day. But let's worry about getting rid of natural gas so we can make sure that this happens more in the future. And when we get more electric cars, then not only will they not run, but it turns out there are other stories today saying, guess what? They're spontaneously combusting. There was a car tanker up off the coast of the Netherlands, if I remember right, that had an EV that burst into flames and set the tanker on fire. But wait a minute. When there are major heat waves all across the country, it turns out that EV batteries, lithium batteries, have this disconcerting tendency to explode as well. So we have several reports of those that are causing major fires. And guess what? There's no water. Can't put them out. So I guess the thing that strikes me about this, David, is, and I got half a dozen stories that I did this week on the other news shows, the level of stupidity. It's kind of like if somebody throws a left hook at you, you put your jaw out and you lean into it. And that's precisely what Big Brother is doing. So at the very same time, we're seeing how stupid it is to take a power grid which is overworked and tax it even more with electric cars, which, by the way, don't have much range in the winter because you can't run the heater. Oh, and they don't have much range in the summer because you can't run the air conditioner, but they may just explode on you anyway. And so let's overtax the power grid and eliminate a clean-burning natural source of fuel that the United States has in abundance. It can't get any more. Well, maybe it can, but I'm hard-pressed to see what it is that they'll think of that's even more stupid next. Go ahead.
Well, the globalist players, the ones that want total control, need to create panic and fear and doubt and in unsurety so that we're more compliant. They need our consent. They need our buy-in. To the degree that we give it to them is the degree that they pull it off. And so as they double down and triple down, they want us not to look at, you know, significant reality, which is who we are and what the banking system is and how we get through this great reset period and how we transition into the kingdom of heaven. And we're in that time right now. And so they, as long as they can keep our eyes off the ball, they have the advantage. So all we need to do is take our eyes and put them on the truth and we'll find our way out of this, Mark.
Okay. So where would you suggest we go then? You want to talk about the things we need to be focusing on or the smoke that is attempting to keep us from it?
Well, I think both. Let's look at each item, for example, and dissect it and see what the real agenda is, how they're using that to create the panic. They want us to keep our eyes off the southern border so that you know, we don't turn into a powder keg here in America. You know, we're on the verge of civil war. We're on the verge of World War III. And, you know, America, more guns are owned by private people, you know, than, I don't know, how do you say it? We're at the brink. And I think what they really want us to do is they want us to pick up arms and break and melt down like that. And you know what? They're doing a really good job of sowing the seeds of discontent or malcontent, or as long as we think that they're not the enemy, as long as they think we think the environment's the enemy or each other's the enemy, or, you know, this racial thing that's the enemy. But as long as we don't look at the economy as the actual enemy, the people, the global elite that are in control, as long as we don't look at them, then they're relatively safe. But if we begin to realize that the power that we have among us by just distinguishing them and recognizing that cooperation at our level with our neighbors and...
Whoops, you dropped out. Cooperation at our level?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay.
I just had a signal in my earphone said that the power was off, but I guess it's not. So I just panicked because I thought the grid went down. See, that's what they got us to. And they, every time something happens, there's a propensity in the people to want to panic because the people are uninformed. The people are uneducated. They've dumbed us down. We don't know what freedom is. We don't know what spirit is. We live in a very unspiritual nation. We live in a very unspiritual reality. And when Jonah went to Nineveh, if we would shift into a spiritual awareness, a spiritual consciousness, and begin to walk in the spirit, those people, those are the children of God, and those are the ones that are going to lead us out of this thing. So they want us to keep our eyes on them. The ultimate reality is we need to keep our eyes on the spirit of our Father.
Mark. Okay. Well, and it occurs to me as you're talking that, of course, if in fact people are worried about cooking to death inside their 6th-floor apartment in New York City because the power's down and they can't get out of the building, the elevators are down, and furthermore, they don't have a car at all in New York City, but if they do have a car in a lot of the leftist cities, it's electric, and as we've said, one of the things that they won't be able to do is drive. So it's kind of funny because you mentioned the firearms. Well, most of those in these cesspool cities have been disarmed already anyway, but as a lot of these things come together, if you think about what we're seeing here, and the people that have been dumbed down and disarmed are the ones that don't have natural gas, they're not going to have energy, they may have an electric car if they have anything, they can't afford to make the payments on it, they won't be able to go anywhere. So it's kind of fascinating how all the stupid works together to keep the people who are pretty much blind anyway distracted. Because honestly, if you're worried about cooking in a 100+ degree heat wave and you don't have any way to get out of the city regardless, you're going to be hard pressed to focus on the kingdom of heaven. Same thing goes for people that don't have food and so forth, as scripture makes clear. So, on every front, it's kind of fascinating to see how either people are paying attention, in which case, as I like to say, you can't, having seen it, unsee it. And on the other hand, the delusion grows ever thicker for those that simply refuse to have eyes to see and have, as you put it, no love of the truth. Go ahead.
What we're living in is the result of years, decades, centuries of building line upon line, precept upon precept of a non-reality, materialistic world that is led by institutions like institutional Christianity, institutional Judaism, institutional XYZ, medical industrial complex, the educational industrial complex, all these industrial narrative-oriented realities combined together have brought us to where we are today. And that system, you know, thinking of like if anyone saw The Matrix, that system is our enemy. So the system itself is designed to to perpetuate itself. And now you introduce AI into the mix, and you have now a narrative creator that further perpetuates the narrative. And the if we can keep our eyes on the reality that the ultimate agenda is to keep us mesmerized, hypnotized, subdued, preoccupied inside of our heads, inside of a not the non-reality that we call the world, then they win. And that's as simple as that. They win to the degree they keep us preoccupied. But when we come out of her, my people, like your show last night, when we come out of her, the spirit, the wisdom of the world, the spirit of the world, the false reality, the knowledge that is the result of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the one that has for centuries dominated our thoughts, as long as we are in that, they are in control. But this is the time where we break out of that. And so we do it one individual at a time. We repent, we turn around, we rethink everything we thought was true, and that's an uncomfortable reality. But when we do that, we begin to see that we're not the crazy ones, that what they're wanting us to buy into is insanity. And so if we can see that, it becomes a lot easier to come out. If we can surround ourselves with people that can distinguish that their non-reality is insanity, and they're wanting us to buy in to that insanity by ourselves becoming insane, when we see that that's the agenda, then from there we can begin to walk in the truth. We got to fall in love with the truth.
Okay, well, so, you know, one of the things that I like to think about for shows like this one is as people come out and as people wake up and become aware of what's going on, and I honestly believe that probably the vast majority of our audience is in that category. I know we get a few new people on occasion that are listening, and most of the time if they come here, it's because they've already started to figure something out and they're looking for more information, not trying to be convinced to begin with. So what I like to think about doing is essentially arming those who do see it with more information so that they're able, as people begin to get the idea that they have been lied to show them more and more facts, to give them more and more truth that'll help them to do that. And so with that in mind, there are several stories on the at least intermediate news. Zero Hedge is one of those places that I think really give us a big clue. I mentioned this story. Let me read the headline. I didn't have the headline sitting here a minute ago. 500 EVs are among the 3,000 cars burning on that ship off the Dutch coast. And a significant risk, notes the story, for lithium-ion batteries, the kind that are putting in these EVs, is thermal runaway. And this has always been something that has concerned me. It's essentially a positive feedback loop. So when the batteries get hot, they tend to produce more heat, which makes them hotter, which produces more heat, which ultimately means they spontaneously combust. That tends to be a problem. And once they get started on fire, they're almost impossible to put out. So there is a problem with these things that they don't like to talk about. Remember, if you will, decades ago, there was a meme, before there were memes, really, about exploding Pintos. Ford Pinto got hit from the rear, and it would blow up. There really weren't all that many of them. But it was a big deal on the news because, we got exploding Pintos. Almost became an element of the, Saturday Night Live joke line. And yet, we have far more EVs, relatively speaking, that are burning than there were Ford Pintos, and most people are kind of clueless about it. So that's just one example out of many of the kinds of things that we can see going on. Here's another one. This is a story that very different area, but it certainly is in the category of smoke screens. The latest charges against the guy who won the election. Donald Trump and an unknown maintenance guy, at least previously unknown, he's going to get his 15 minutes of fame, have been charged by the scumbags and those that are looking to destroy the rule of law with trying to delete surveillance footage at Mar-a-Lago. And I like the headline here from Zero Hedge. They say what he should have done, he should have just taken $5 million from an Ukrainian oligarch. He'd be in fine shape. And this is kind of a quick summary of where we are on the smokescreen scale, David.
Well, I have obviously misunderstood that story. I thought he was being charged with obstruction because he was refusing to turn over the tapes the surveillance tapes of that raid.
No, see, it doesn't matter.
Mark, is that...
It doesn't matter. No matter what he does, he'll be charged with more because we just have to make it up if we can't otherwise... And I'm not kidding. I wish I was making a cynical joke about this, but it's kind of like all you got to do is to say, hey, what we need is we need a distraction. And the more information that comes out about real crimes, $30-plus million of bribes to the Biden Fuhrer. Here's a story from the Epoch Times that literally says the Hunter Biden laptop scandal, the laptop from hell, is even worse than we know. New revelations from the House Judiciary Committee Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the FedGov about the bureaus. Now, this is the Bureau of Instigation that has been attempting, no, not to make up evidence like they do for elected people, but unelected folks get presidential coverage. They have been quashing the laptop story, and, you know, it's... More and more keeps coming out basically just about how deep and how evil and how insidious this is. So what are we going to do? We're going to keep charging with made-up crimes the guy who actually – his real crime was he won the election. And he won it big time, and he won it with probably more votes than any presidential candidate got in history against the guy who never came out of his basement. But they had to make up more votes for him, and his crime is pointing that out. And again, all you have to do is once see it and realize – there are certain things that are unforgivable, and actually winning an election and then daring to suggest that the system is as rigged as it is, although honestly 2 years ago we didn't have a clue just how rigged it is, and it's more and more obvious by the day. Go ahead.
I think Trump, his real sin was exposing the human trafficking element on this planet. One of the first things he did when he got into office was write an executive order to end human trafficking on this planet and to go after all of the people that were involved in that. And I think from there he began to unravel the syndicate, the global syndicate, and that relies on human trafficking as the world's number one profitable endeavor, and the United States being the number one consumer of human trafficking. And when he went down that road and began to threaten the power structure as it was, he became the threat. And I think this is why, no, I don't think, I know, this is why they threw COVID at us. And, he declared the national emergency back in May of 2020. And as he said that what was going on was a greater threat to America than Pearl Harbor, and it was as significant an event as 9/11 in Pearl Harbor, I should say. So that he won, that he lost a rigged election, that's the desperation that these people have is there. Let me put it this way: when he wins, and when I say win, what I mean. He is going to successfully expose their game by, as he put it, taking all the slings and arrows that they have to throw at him. And he promised that in his speech against Hillary Clinton. He said he was going to go ahead and take and drain the swamp.
I wish
he was going to use every means of the executive power to reveal what was going on. And he said they were going to hit him and hit him as hard as they could. You know, he's depicting himself as Rocky who fights the whole fight and gets the snot beat out of it until the last round. And so I think that's what we're watching. And so they are so desperately afraid of his movement, of the number of people getting behind him and the power of prayer, that of the people that are praying for him. And, you know, the precatory prayers that are being prayed against them, they're feeling the strain. Ain't it a shame? And so this is what we're really dealing with. And as long as Trump stays in the arena and they continue to beat up on him, he's drawing everyone's attention to the reality of who is really the corrupt one. And he's constantly being vindicated. The momentum of this thing is so great that they are terrified. And that's why I think his name is Jack Smith keeps indicting or is going to continue to indict. You know, we know an indictment for January 6th is coming down. But all these indictments are actually opportunities. And Trump isn't skipping a beat. He takes that as a badge of honor. and Kerry Lake down in Arizona takes it as a badge of honor. And so if we all stand in the spirit where we take the ridicule and the mocking and the gaslighting really as a badge of honor, that they have to resort to that, that turns the tables on them. And that, I think, is really what needs to happen in this country to cause America to wake. Because bottom line is, like Nineveh, you know, if I was to step into the role of Jonah, I don't think America deserves a second chance. But, you know, if through Trump, America can wake up, people of America can wake up and start praying the right precatory prayer and start praying the right prayer in support of taking this ungodly system down and setting things straight, then, you know, Trump has become a very significant instrument in history to focus on, to unite the American people in the truth. So whether we love him or hate him, the fact that he's the result of his lives is resulting in the exposure of the most abhorrent evil on this planet, slavery, human trafficking, well, then, you know, it's all good news. And so everything, and if all things work together for good, then what everything Trump's doing is actually good news. So if we need to look at that as, oh, my God, they're going after again. How amazing. And he just sits back and kind of smiles. So do I. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, the problem here is, and I'm with you so far as the response, because I have said for years, and I firmly believe, the real answer to so much of what's going on is ridicule. When it comes to waking people up, humor is effective. Ridicule is very effective. And it's of course the tool that's been used by the CIA against Americans for years, right? Conspiracy theorist, you. And all these other names that they use to come up with and attack people. And the response, ultimately, is not to simply duplicate what they're doing, because the goal of the left is to say, hey, whatever you're going to charge us with is what we've already done. So we're going to charge you with it first, and that'll blunt it. That will immunize us from the charges that you're going to level. Ultimately, though, if we simply recognize the insanity and point it out in a way that is ridiculing or humorous, I think there are major effects that come from that, and we have to begin to see it. That's why the Jack Smith stuff is so insidious and. Ultimately, it's dangerous on the one hand, and as you point out, it's good to see people ridiculing it. But I'm looking at a piece from Martin Armstrong. I have great respect for Martin Armstrong, and he's got a picture of Jack Smith up, and it says, "This is the man who intends to tear America apart, the United States at the seams. He's now filed yet another superseding indictment against Donald Trump. Not such a big deal. It's simply more charges on the same bogus theories about interfering with the 2020, well, whoops, but this time it's the 2024 election. How is he interfering? By running. By pointing out the criminality of those who have been trying to put him behind bars since he won the last election." And he quotes a U.S. law, which doesn't matter anymore. "No person acting under color of law or otherwise shall intimidate, threaten, coerce, or attempt to intimidate, threaten, or coerce any other person for the purpose of interfering with the right of such person to vote or not vote as he may choose and the person he may vote for." And basically what Jack Smith is doing is exactly, hey, here's a shocker, what he is charging anybody who dares to stand up against the deep state with doing, especially Trump. How dare you do what we're doing, and that is attempt to interfere with an election that we've already got pre-rigged. So it's almost funny in a disgusting way. The time has come where either we go to blows rhetorically and with jokes, or it comes to bloodshed. Go ahead, David. We got about a minute and a half or so.
Well, I think joking and not dismissing it as, you know, insignificant, but seeing and realizing the desperation, we can take some gratification out of them being so desperate. And if that eases the pain at all, I hear the music, so I guess I'll see you on the other side. I see the moon horizon.
All right. Welcome back, folks. Second half now of the Drive Time Friday show. We're talking about a number of things this morning, all basically having to do with the clown show, the insanity, the big joke that is the rule of law in America and what's happened. And ultimately, a lot of this is smoke because it's preventing people from seeing the manipulation of the climate via the geoengineering of the planet. I've got a story on that one that I'll come back to if we have time. Ultimately, it's not anything we haven't figured out before. We have World War III. We have the economic meltdown, and that's coming up here in August with the BRICS nations. But ultimately, I think the thing that's more interesting is the attempt to prevent people from seeing the obvious. Matter of fact, here's the story I wanted to start the segment off with, David. This is from Professor Jonathan Turley, leftist, but respected constitutional attorney. And I always find it kind of educational, enlightening to see how former leftists, Naomi Wolf comes to mind, people like Glenn Greenwald and Matt Taibbi, respected real journalists. But this is a constitutional law professor, and his piece that ran this week is entitled "Nothing to See Here: Members and the Media Panic as the Biden Scandals, Plural, Mount." And he quotes a former U.S. Senator, Claire McCaskill of Missouri, insisting on MSNBC, everybody needs to back off because the Biden revelations are becoming too much for them to deal with. And the media desire, he says, move on from the increasingly nuclear scandal is reaching an almost frantic level because millions of bucks in obvious bribe payments, dozens of corporate shell companies are being revealed, incriminating emails are being released, and basically, there's more evidence here by far of far bigger crimes, far more far-reaching, far greater Big Brother involvement than anything that took down Tricky Dick Nixon. And yet, you know, the Biden Fuhrer refuses to resign. All they'd have to do is just put a piece of paper in front of him saying, I resign, put your ex here, and he'd sign it without knowing what he was doing. The problem is then they've got the whore, the vice president got there by we know how, that would be next in line, and they don't want to do that because that's almost as big of, well, maybe even a bigger disaster. Here's the line from this piece that I think is revealing. Writes Professor Turley, what's most striking about these latest hearings involving two respected IRS whistleblowers was how, and this is a Democrat, mind you, saying this, was how Democratic members avoided virtually any specific questions. Oh, they talked about everything else, like the murder of Emmett Till in 1955, to whether the term two-tier justice system is racially insensitive. Oh, yeah, and let's not forget The Donald. They gotta have him. And as a result, the severity of the revelations, though, makes it obvious that this is why the liberal media is calling these investigations a clown show. Wonder where they heard that. And here's the funny part. Others continue to tell the public, as if people would buy it if they just kept repeating it, they're still reading Hitler, obviously, that there remain no alleged ties from Hunter Biden to his daddy, the big guy, in spite of pictures, emails, witness testimony. And it's getting harder and harder to avoid the obvious. And he says, here's the bottom line. The public has lost faith in the media and trust. They know better. And indeed, the Let's Go Brandon thing, remember that, was as much a mocking of the leftist media as it was the idiot, senile president. And he's right. And when the leftists see this, David, it's key and it's a great indicator.
Well, and every time they take up the cause against Trump and for Biden in light of the magnitude of the crimes that Bidens are involved with, they become complicit in the crime. They show themselves to be complicit in the crime by
not treason.
Discussing the truth of what's actually happening and running interference for the crimes against humanity, Dr. Fauci, for crimes against humanity, of human trafficking, and right on down the line. The fact that they're ignoring these things causes them to be complicit, not metaphorically, but in actuality. The law and order, we're operating under law and order. Every one of these media outlets that is withholding information is complicit and is involved in high crimes and felonies and actual treason
because the Biden administration is working to destroy America from within, gutting the military, allowing the invasion from the South, hiding his millions of dollars and his shell corporations and the direct involvement with China and with Ukraine, and the fact that he's being blackmailed by Zelensky, you know, that they are obfuscating and keeping the American people confused about what's actually going on. They're as guilty as Biden in these things.
Well,
in this
more
context.
So. Biden's
and so is the FBI, and so is the Department of Justice, and so is the Department of Homeland Security, and there is no federal bureaucracy right now that does not have clean hands. And when they turn against Trump, again, it just amplifies and it brings into focus the magnitude of what we're dealing with. So is this a time to panic? No. I thank God that these things are being exposed, because we need to understand the rule of law, and we need to understand the spiritual reality that America has been devoid of for centuries. And only until we understand the problems, like telling an alcoholic, you know, until they get that they're an alcoholic, they can't ask for help. Until we realize that we're a whole nation, that we ourselves are Mystery Babylon as a people. And that America has been America, like Nineveh, has to come to grips with the reality that we're a dead nation. And if this reality is not, if we don't see it through what's happening, then we're hopeless and we deserve to die as a people. We deserve the end of the nation. Only by seeing the reality of what's actually going on and distinguishing our participation in it, which we do every time we file a tax return, we basically give our consent. Every time we go along to get along with one of these programs like the CRT and all of this crap they're feeding our children with the gender studies and all that, by going along with it, we are actually indicting ourselves, because we're not withdrawing from it. We're not removing our thoughts and prayers against these things. Anyway, there, I've just had my rant. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, well, one more last thing before we move on away from Trump and the destruction of the rule of law and all the things that the level of idiocy here is revealing is one final comment from the piece by Martin Armstrong. And what I think is so fascinating about this is he's exactly right, and it's something we need to watch for, because this is how the game is played. So, this latest story about how they're going to indict Trump and basically a guy nobody's ever heard of, the gardener, essentially, is because, and I'll quote from Martin Armstrong, they desperately, meaning the deep state, they need a co-defendant. They threaten the co-defendant with 20 years to life unless they testify for the government. They need that to pursue intent, because otherwise they can't prove anything about what they're trying to make up. And as a result, they're going to put the screws to this guy. The co-defendant will get on the stand, and he will say, after being properly coached, because, hey, they'll rehearse him on what to say in return for a grant of immunity. You get off with no time. This is how it's been done
exactly.
For years, and now they're going to do it to basically complete the overthrow. So they'll get on the stand, and he'll say, Trump told him X, Y, and Z, and the jury, therefore, will have to find him guilty, because they have not two eyewitnesses, mind you, but one. This is the law of tyrants, says Armstrong correctly. They always go for the conspiracy charge. Now, funny, you're a conspiracy theorist if you recognize what they will call you a conspiracy theorist for, but they will use this in their bogus courts because they can't prove the real crime. They have to come up with something else, so they coerce somebody else into saying, I conspired with him to do something that never got done. And the more people realize this up front and then they see it play out, the more armed they are to deal with what's coming. Go ahead, David.
Well, and, you know, and as you're saying all these things, I'm distinguishing that they – I don't know. Every time, let's distinguish the they. They are the ones that have all of the money in the world and more at their disposal, because they can create it out of thin air. And the Federal Reserve System and the International Monetary Fund and anyone that has their tentacles into that private organization, into that private reality, is part of that swamp. Now, what they need us to do is to forsake law and order and just let them have power. And because what they want, and this is what dictatorship and tyranny and despotism, that's what these words mean, absolute power. Well, now, according to the founding fathers, absolute power corrupts absolutely, as Lord Axton had said that. But more importantly, it's why the Constitution was created. The very reason that we're experiencing today is the very reason the Constitution was created, so that we would not have a totalitarian dictatorship, a despotism, rise up in America. And should it rise up in America, the founding documents of America provide and distinguish the people in their capacity as the children of God, our Father in heaven, have the authority, because the power ultimately resides in the people as co-heirs with Christ and sovereigns in America. We have the power to take that power back. So they are using Jack Smith, and they're using what appears to be law. See, they only use law when it's convenient for them. And it's only called law because they call it law. But the reality is we're witnessing an absolutely arbitrary and capricious system, a bureaucracy that is completely corrupt to its core, and it's pretending to be government. They overthrew the government a long time ago. So what we're watching is not government at all. It's really sleight of hand. They want to call it communism. They want to call it fascism. You know, it doesn't matter what label you put on it. What it is total corruption at its core. And so it creates the image of government because it's occupying the seats of government. And so long as they can keep the people believing that they're the government and that they're not a bunch of criminals, then they have control and they have the upper hand. So what we're dealing with here is really a mental battle. And if we read General Flynn's Fifth Generation War, it will completely wake us up to the reality that we are engaged in World War III, and it's all in our minds. The battle is in our minds, and it's fascinating how Scripture, all those years ago, distinguished that the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And in Corinthians, it talks about of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, for the tearing down of these strongholds. Now, again, the battle, fifth generation warfare, as General Flynn distinguishes it, is the ability to control the minds of the people to make them complicit without them becoming aware of what they're actually fighting. And so the system uses confusion and our own complacency.
Whoops, David.
And it weaponizes everything against us. It weaponizes system against us. Go ahead, Mark. Sorry.
All right, you're breaking up a little bit there. Let's go ahead and arm them with a few more facts from some different areas that I think are important to make sure people understand and can deploy. Because you're right, the weapons of our warfare here also include the truth, and there are several things that people need to be aware of on that front. Here's one. This is not something that they won't already understand, but when it comes to bombshells, this one's important, especially because of the statistics here. As an engineer, this really hit me. Ed Dowd dropped a bombshell, actually several of the same bombshells. He appeared on a number of shows this week with similar data, talking about some British health data from the UK Independence payment system. This is an insurance system and their payments. And one, among other things, he showed that any number of poke-related poisons, auditory, cardiovascular, dermatological, endocrine, gastrointestinal, and so forth, kinds of disabilities and deaths were up dramatically, anywhere from well over 100% to, in the case of hematological or blood-related claims, they were up 522% above trend, not just above 1 year, but above the trend as of 2022. And guess what happened then? Yeah, the poison poke went into mass bioweapon distribution. And what was fascinating was he said, you know, we talk about things that get Wall Street's attention, a Three Sigma event. That's right out at the very tails of the bell curve. Most people, they don't know what a Sigma is, at least know that Three Sigma means happens less than around 1% of the time, give or take. And What about Six Sigma? Well, that means it basically almost never happens. If it does, they call it a black swan, and it's very rare. Well, this particular thing, statistically, in other words, a blood issue rising 522% over trend, is a 161 sigma event. In other words, it's so far out on the bell curve that it doesn't happen. Doesn't happen at all unless, what? Unless there is a reason that made it happen. And guess what? We all know what it is. So here's another one of those little interesting facts that tells people, hey, do you doubt that Fauci was a liar, that the bioweapon has been deployed? Look and see what's happened when people take the poison poke. Hematological claims that are blood-related, in other words, are up dramatically, and they're up at a level that is absolutely a statistical impossibility without a real specific cause. Here's another one. This is kind of related to, speaking of specific causes, and the idiocy, the deep state, the takeover of the United States. I'm talking about the House and the Senate. U.S. House of Representatives on Wednesday voted down an amendment. Now, they're going to put an amendment in there. They want to sneak a gun control ban into the NDAA. No surprise there. If you can't get people to vote on it, let's just slip it in. But wait a minute. They did vote on this, and they said no. The amendment was to force airlines, which are the public-private partners that caved to the COVID bioweapon, to force them to rehire the good pilots who had the brains and who knew enough about federal aviation regulations and medical regs to say, hell no, I'm not going to take an untested Zyklon B injection. They fired them. And now this bill would have said, airlines, you work for us because you're the public-private partners. Rehire those pilots. After all, you're short on pilots anyway. Guess what? The House said no. And the vote included 83 rhinos who joined with the far left to sink the proposal. This is kind of like saying, hey, you caught us. We're guilty. We know it. You know we're guilty. You know we know it. And we're going to tell you go pound salt. Ha ha. What are you going to do about it? And this is what we're dealing with, David. Go ahead.
Well, we're dealing with the obfuscation of truth. The rhinos in that office who had the opportunity to reinstate those pilots are somehow being blackmailed, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say probably because something they did in their life, like get involved in the human trafficking, or maybe they directly participated in it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, though, the stupidity that they would not vote into that suggests that they're controlled. So what we're dealing with is a highly manipulated people holding offices in government that are more concerned about going to jail and maybe suffering the death penalty than they are about being reasonable. In other words, they're compromised. And they're compromised. They're being compromised maintains the status quo to protect themselves. They're in this for them. And the 90 votes right there is direct evidence that testifies against them as not really – they're either stupid, uninformed, or they're compromised. There's no other choice because there's enough evidence. And people in Congress, they're without excuse. They're elected into that position to know the truth about what's going on at the highest offices of what is called government, so they have an opportunity. But see, they don't want to put their necks on the line, and therein lies the problem. So we've got, again, going back to a completely corrupted system where everybody is going along to get along, and Trump, the great disruptor, has become an absolutely uncomfortable problem for them. But staying more on task with this idea with the airline people, that's what's going on. The people are compromised or blackmailed, but it's all the way from the bottom to the top. And that's really what's going on. So again, when we know what's going on, it's a lot easier to pray because we have an understanding of where our prayers need to be directed, Mark.
Okay. Well, let's throw out one more bit of information that I think will help people to think about and understand from a factual point of view the deception that we're dealing with here. Now, this one is kind of interesting. I hope we have enough time to do it. I can at least lay it out. And I did talk about it earlier in the week. The Biden Fuhrer and the regime is again meddling. They want to ban gas stoves. They want to ban LP. They want to ban natural gas. In other words, this is probably one of the cleanest fuels on planet Earth. And Well, it produces carbon dioxide and water vapor. Oh, no, those are two deadly chemicals, right? Unless you're an idiot, you know that that's a lie. All right. Anyway, the central planners in the White House are now, through the Department of Energy, which is unconstitutional anyway, proposing new energy efficiency standards. This is bull, you know what, folks. And it would require electric water heaters, because they're not going to let you have a gas water heater. They're going to make those not only unavailable and cut off the natural gas when they get their way, but they're going to force you into electric anyway. So they're going to raise the price of those. So the regulatory agency here is saying we're going to require them now. We're going to be engineers. We're idiots. We can't legislate our way out of a paper bag. But we know better than engineers and consumers who you're going to have to design and what consumers are going to have to buy. So these are now going to be required to have heat pump technology. Okay, which works fine in relatively warm climates when it's relatively warm. But when it's cold, heat pumps don't work because there's not enough heat to pump. And that was what Thomas Massey pointed out. Hey, these things are already on the market. You can buy a heat device that has heat pump technology if you want to spend more for it. What they're going to do is to say, we're going to work with our public-private partners to put the little guys out of business, and the only ones that will be able to provide for you will be the big brother public-private partners. They're going to charge more than you can bear because they'll have a monopoly. You probably won't even have hot water, and when it's especially cold, it won't work anyway. So ultimately, this is an example, David, of the kind of thing that I encourage people to be able to see through. When you recognize that the whole point here is bogus. The non-existent carbon footprint BS is how they're starting out. They're going to move people to electricity, which isn't going to be available anyway. Then they're going to say, well, you need more efficient water heaters, and you can't afford them. That's what's most efficient. If you don't have a water heater, you won't even have it on the power grid. Ha ha, aren't we clever? So I encourage people, look at the facts. Look at a little bit of the science. You don't have to be an engineer to understand the kind of stupidity that basically says we're going to circumvent the free market, force you to buy something which doesn't work and you don't want it anyway, and besides, you can't afford it. And ultimately, this is where it all leads. And as people begin to see this, and they see it on not just the big fronts like the international crime and the bribes, but they see it on the little fronts. They go to the hardware store and they can't buy what they want anymore because Big Brother doesn't want you to have it. Then they'll start to get it. Go ahead, Dave. We've got about a minute and a half.
Well, okay. So the whole carbon credit thing, money and currency are probably the most difficult things on this planet to get our minds around. And part of the reason is because the monetary system on this planet is private. And so it's controlled. They want to reset the monetary system and they need a basis for that and reset. Gold and silver, no, that's out. Randy Yarborough used to talk about using commodities, a basket of produce, to establish a value against which a piece of currency could be measured as and then traded amongst us in society. They're using this idea of the carbon credits as the basis for their new monetary system. So they have to move us in that direction and get us trained to be thinking in terms of carbon footprint.
And isn't it funny?
We're going to be graded by our social score, how well we cooperate
with the
and our carbon footprint. And these are going to be the basis.
We're at the break, David.
Of their new monetary system.
We're out of time, but you're right. Ponder the irony. They take a fake money system based on debt and replace it with a lie based on fake science. Thanks, folks. Shabbat shalom.